Thank you, Brother Paul. Good heartfelt singing is always a boost to the worship service of our Lord. And looking back over our crowd, I see that there are several visitors here, and we're very happy to have you. You're always welcome at the Redland Road Church of Christ. And as the old man said one time, we'll treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. We're very happy to have you. On coming to church this morning, though, I learned the sad news that Brother Frank Pritchett had passed away. Brother Pritchett and I seemed to have formed a bond, and I thought of the world and all of him, went out to visit him earlier when I could, and I sure hated to hear that. But he died in hope. The last words to me over here was hanging in. And now he's gone where he doesn't have to worry about that oxygen tank anymore. I'm sure he's breathing the fresh air over on the other side that's waiting for all saints. We're sad for the family because there's always a tragedy there, but we are happy in the sense that he died in faith. Amen. Have you ever heard that expression, you haven't heard the last of it, or you haven't heard all of it, or something like that? Well, I want to tell you something. We're used to those kind of remarks. If you were to ask Brother Raines, can you play the bass violin? He'd say, you hadn't heard the last of it. You hadn't heard all of it. If you were to ask Sister Bena tonight, could Brother Joe raise a garden? You'd say the half has never yet been told. And I'm sure we could go around, ask several people that, and they'd all have that kind of answer. I heard the story of a fellow that had a good hunting dog one time. He said, man, can your dog hunt birds? He said, man, the half has never yet been told. You don't know the half of it. And the other fellow says, well, I believe that my dog is a better dog than your dog. No, that kind of fired him up. He said, well, let's take them hunting. So they went out there, and the first old boy that thought his dog was the best fired at some birds, and they fell in the water. And his dog, he said, now watch old Sam. And old Sam went out there and just swam out to those birds and brought them back. He said, now, can your dog do that? He said, well, he just watch. And he shot a bird, and it fell in the water. And his old dog just went out there and walked on the water, picked up the bird and walked back with it. He said, what do you think about that now? He said, couldn't swim, could he? So we're used to those kind of remarks. But it wasn't started by a man. I don't know where it was started by her or not. But a lady used that similar remark to that 1,000 years before Jesus Christ ever came to earth. So there was Solomon in all of his glory. After the Saul, David, man of God's own heart, then there came Solomon. And Solomon then was used in the purpose of God to raise up a kingdom and to build him a house. Solomon overlaid the furniture in the house with pure gold. He then ordered the cedar all from Hiram to float down and build the temple. He really, as the old southern expression said, put on the dog. Of course, he charged all the people heavy taxes for it. But he built then the city of Jerusalem and a temple there and the palace, all that would just make your eyes bug out. The fame of Solomon's kingdom and the fame of all that he did and all the gold he had, and especially the wisdom that God gave him. God, in a vision or in a dream, said to him, I said, what do you want? I'll grant it. And he says, well, I'd like to have the wisdom to rule the world and rule my people. And he said, since you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you, and yet not ask for wealth, I'm going to give you both. Well, he did, and his fabulous wealth went out all over the earth, and the story of his wisdom And he finally trickled down to a little kingdom in the south of Africa there, the kingdom of Sheba. And there was a queen there that heard about it. She said, "I heard, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that it's as glorious as they're saying about it. But I'll tell you what I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go and see for myself." And that's what she did. Then our young fellow read in the text this morning that when she went and saw that, truly her eyes did bug out. She got ready to leave. She said, "Oh, the servants, I look at your servants that are serving thee. And I look at all the clothes of your servants here. When I saw your wisdom or heard your wisdom," and I've seen this palace, of course, "then the half was not told me." We say sometimes the half has never yet been told. On one occasion in the New Testament, when the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus Christ, and they were all trying to put him to the test all the time, they said to Jesus, "Show us a sign. We want to know that you're really the Son of God. Give us some kind of sign." And Jesus looked at them, I'm sure, with a stern eye and said, "A wicked and adulterous generation is always seeking for a sign." You got people today still seeking for a sign. He says, they're always seeking for a sign. They don't want to believe. They don't want to accept it just by faith. They want to see something. And then he adds this. What do you think he would add when he would want to rebuke these people for that? He said, "I call your attention that there was a prophet by the name of Jonah that went down to the Ninevites and preached to the Ninevites. And when they heard the preaching of the word of the Lord, the Ninevites repented. But he said, I want to tell you, a greater than the Ninevites or greater than Jonah is here. In other words, the word that I'm going to preach is going to put the preaching of Jonah that turned the Ninevites to repentance. It's going to put them to shame." He not only said that, but he mentioned the Queen of Sheba that we're talking about. He said, "The Queen of Sheba, you've heard about her." They studied the Old Testament, they bound had. Said, "She says she came to see the glory of Solomon. She wanted to see his kingdom. She wanted to see the temple and everything." He says, "I want to tell you right now that you haven't seen anything yet. For you see, there was a king here besides Solomon, and there was a kingdom to be established besides the kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament. The half has never yet been told." I've been thinking about that for some time, and I know it's truly a great text. God raised up Solomon for a specific purpose, to build him a temple that he might dwell in the midst of his people. But the temple that Jesus was going to build when he came was going to put that one to shame. Well, when we think about that, I want to call your attention to some things in which Jesus' temple and Jesus' kingdom and all far superior to the Old Testament. And I know that it's written upon every Christian's heart that's ever obeyed the gospel since that time. If you really got to the bottom of their heart and got to the meat of the situation, they'd say at the close of the conversation, "I've told you this, but the half has never yet been told." I wonder if the other half could ever be told. Because the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard what's laid up for you and me." Well, for all of them that love the Lord, and I trust that everyone in here is a lover of the Lord. So let's look at the kingdom of Solomon for a minute. It's an awesome kingdom at that time. It's the time when Israel had reached her peak and all the glory that he had there. Well, Queen of Sheba was commendable. She'd heard it at a long distance away and said, "I'm going to go see for myself." In John, the first chapter, there was a couple of disciples asked Jesus, they were John the Baptist disciples at the time, but said, "Where do you live?" He said, "Come and see." It's always commendable for someone to come and to see for themselves where Jesus dwells. Come and see for themselves the glory of the kingdom of God that excels Solomon's kingdom beyond the expression of words. Come and see. There is a reason for that, because so many people have a hand-me-down in second-hand religion. A hand-me-down in second-hand religion which they have not come and have seen for themselves will let you down in a tight. It can boil down to formality. You can go through all of the expressions and everything of a normal worship service, but somehow it is formal. You've got to come and see for yourself. And when they went to Jesus, these two disciples, they came away saying, "We have found the Messiah." When the Queen of Sheba came away and said, "The half has never yet been told," she said, "I didn't believe it, but it's there." And when Jesus brings this up in the New Testament, he says, "If you will come and see the glory of the new kingdom, the glory of the new temple, you will know when you walk away that the half has never yet been told." So the house of Jesus built was far superior. For he said, "A greater than Solomon is here." For Solomon was the son of David, and Jesus was also the son of David on the fleshly lineage. But the half has never yet been told, because Jesus was the Son of God. And when you read and study then the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, then there's something that rises in your breast and say that God has kissed the earth, that truly the prophet said, "Emmanuel is with us, and surely he has come down." The half has never yet been told. For Jesus superior to Solomon, because he was the Son of God, which Solomon could never be in that sense. Then the first was built by Solomon. He's begotten of David. Jesus was begotten by the Son of God. Something else to think about the temple. You could overlay it with all of the gold that you desired and make the furniture just as flashy and glorious as you could, so that people would walk in and just their mouths would fly open and they'd say, "Aw." But Jesus' temple is far more superior than that. For as flashy and glorious as Solomon's temple was, it was going to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Going to come against it, and with battering rams and other things that they had, would just tear it, raise it to the ground. But Jesus said, "The half has never yet been told. I'm going to establish a day. They're going to destroy this temple of mine, but I'll raise it up in 3 days." Solomon couldn't have done anything like that. He said, not only that, he said, this temple in the Old Testament was one that was for a particular race of people. The kingdom that I'm going to have and the temple that I will offer the people of God's for all the world. Go ye and teach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The kingdom of heaven is far superior than the kingdom of Israel. The temple is far more inviting than the temple in the Old Testament. For the temple of the Old Testament had its holdbacks. It was a series of light to dark. You went on the outside in the light, and you then offered, you washed your hands, and you offered your sacrifice, and you went into the holy place where there was nothing but a candle burning. The light was dim. And then the high priest went on in beyond the veil where total darkness was. God was dwelling in total darkness behind that veil. People, keep your distance, stay out. Only the high priest can do this once a year. But the high priest of God Almighty and Jesus Christ surpasses that, far superior to that. For he went beyond the veil of death. And he took the blood of his sacrifice, spiritually speaking, over into heaven and offered it unto God and said, "This is for every believer that will ever name my name." And he's there now interceding for each one of us. And every prayer with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the presence of God receives every prayer that we pray and offers it unto God. Solomon didn't know anything about that. Ah, how inferior his kingdom was, regardless of the glory. And speaking of the glory, speaking of the gold of the furniture of the temple and so on, overlaid with gold, Jesus said there's something far more superior than that. And Paul talks about the treasure of being the gospel. And when a person obeys the gospel, then he is purified as fine gold. And the gold that is in God's house now is the character, the purified soul and the character of every Christian. You, if you're a Christian here this morning, you're the gold of God. And you've been purified in the fire of that Jesus Christ walked into. That's why his feet were bronzed in the book of Revelation. He walked through the fire for you and me. Now we have to be faithful and defy the world just like the three Hebrew children who were thrown into the fiery furnace. We don't know what furnace is there, what is before us. But we have to have that faith. Our God will deliver us, but defiant. If not, I will not bow down to the image of this world. And that is far superior, and the half has never yet been told. There was some of it that was told in the Old Testament because the king looked in and he saw the Son of God treading the flames with the three Hebrew children. Well, those people that look at us today when we're treading the flames of persecution or negative comment or whatever we have, and we are defiant and say, put it on, but we will not bow down. If they peer through the doors and they peer through the eyes and look down into the deep of your soul, they see Jesus. There's one like the Son of Man walking with you in the fire. Christians believe that. The half has never yet been told. But we not only can hear about it like the queen, we've got to come and see for ourselves. And we've got to then be purified. And we've got to come and one other point or two I'd like to make. The temple in the Old Testament was built with slave labor. They could never be delivered from their sins. Solomon offered thousands of sacrifices to dedicate the temple. The Hebrew writer of the New Testament says, you know, the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. So they could talk about the glory of Solomon, the glory of the temple, but it was built with slave labor and the slaves could never be sin free. But in the New Testament, when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and the same writing is to us here today, Romans 6, 17 and 18, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Just like those old servants that were building the temple back in the Old Testament. But he said, there's a difference. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When those slaves finished the temple in the Old Testament, they were still unrighteous. For the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ is far mightier, far greater than Solomon, far greater than Jonah or any other prophet. I'm certain when Jesus said, of those born of women, there's not any greater than John the Baptist, he was excluding himself. But then when we think of that, Paul, in commenting upon that later, well, in fact, it's the same book. He addressed the book. Oh, what Paul owed to God. When he thought there of that Damascus road, when his heart was turned from a persecuting Jew to a beloved saint of God in the process, he wrote unto them and filled with gratitude, he penned this. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. But the difference in the slavery in the Old Testament when they built the temple and the one built in the new was they were slaves of unrighteousness. Paul is a slave of righteousness. And so are we. But God be thanked that you're not the servants building a temple that's going to perish with hands. We are in this building together with Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are co-laborers with God. We're working together with God Almighty and Jesus Christ in spite of all the hell that's around us and in this world. We're working together to bring as much light as we possibly can, to be the gold of God in the temple of God, which is a spiritual temple. And we're here to show that we are the slaves or servants of God. People don't like that word slave. But when Paul used it, he used the word doulos in the Greek, which is an abject servant, one with no rights except the right of the master. I want us to think about that. Well, the temple of the kingdom of Solomon was the peak of Jewish glory, but it was inferior in scope. Jesus' kingdom was unlimited to race, but now ours takes the entire world. So in so many ways, it was inferior. Why then look back to the Old Testament? Look to the new and look to the future. And we're here this morning when we offer this invitation to offer you something far superior than eye has seen or ear has ever heard. For I am standing in this pulpit, and all of the singing that Paul has led us in and everything is geared for one purpose: to make us heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. To imbibe ourselves in this wonderful worship service with prayer. And as we sing and go out that door, we know that there's something better waiting for us than what this world is. You see in this world, what you see in this world is chaos, confusion, and destruction, and it's hanging over our head. But what you see in this assembly here is the Word of God. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That rest is not in this world, but it's coming. It's a Sabbath rest for eternity. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He welcomes you all. If you, like the Queen of Sheba, now have heard the word of God and you can feel in your soul that there's more to this than I ever thought about, if you can feel like the Ninevites that Jonah preached to, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. If you will come down this aisle and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will help you to be baptized into Christ, to rise, to walk in the newness of life, and the half is not told. The half has never yet been told, and it won't be told this side of heaven. But one of these days, praise God, our eyes will be fully open. Amen. If you're here and you're an erring saint, that's incredible. Why not come back to God? Why not come and say, I've sinned? That's all it takes, and be penitent. We will pray with you and for you as together Paul leads us in this song.